This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, Amazon made it official this morning. Boston will not be the home of its second headquarters. The Seattle-based giant will actually have two HQ2s, one in Long Island City, New York, one in Crystal City, Virginia. And those two locations will split the promised 50,000 new Amazon jobs. Amazon will also develop a small site in Nashville that it says will create about 5,000 new jobs. Boston, along with Somerville, was among 20 HQ2 finalists that were named earlier this year. Mayor Marty Walsh told reporters today that this is Amazon's loss.
You know, I'm happy of us being in the running. You know, we started with 232 different cities and towns across America. We made it to the final. You know, I think Amazon might have missed an opportunity here in Boston because we have the talent and the talent in our city and the growth in our city that could work with them.
And joining us with the latest is WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers. Hi there.
Hi, Deb.
So, listeners, we want to have you join in this conversation as well. Is this, as Mayor Marty Walsh says, Amazon's loss? Are you disappointed that Amazon didn't choose Greater Boston? Or are you happy that we didn't get HQ2? Did we dodge a bullet? Or did this area really stand a chance to begin with? Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Callum, let's start with you. What is Amazon saying about why it made this decision?
Well, it's singing the praises of the two cities that it did choose. So for Long Island City, it's calling that a diverse community with a unique blend of cultural institutions. It also says it has some of the best transit access in all of New York City, and we know that was a big box they wanted to check. And for Crystal City, they're also pointing to the infrastructure investments that the state of Virginia is willing to put in, about $200 million just to improve the neighborhood. So those are some of the real highlights in the cities it did pick.
But you know, this whole thing was about HQ2, 50,000 jobs. It's going to be a big boom for whoever gets it. Do they have the educated workforce? Do they have incentives?
Right.
Then they split it. That's not fair. I mean, why'd they split it?
Well, the reason is that it was really hard to drum up 50,000 high-tech workers in a single location. You would have to import them from other parts of the country, and that's hard to do. It also, of course, would put a lot of strain on that city's existing infrastructure. I think the question that we all have in mind now, of course, is, was this the plan all along, or did Amazon genuinely change its mind in the course? And it's impossible to know that for sure.
Okay, so what do Crystal City, Virginia, and Long Island City, New York have that Boston and Somerville do not have? For what incentives were they offered?
I think that's exactly where the answer may lie, Deb. And in fact, we heard the mayor address that earlier this afternoon in his scrum with reporters when he said, look, you know, those two cities combined were offering $2+ billion in incentives. And without going into specifics, Marty Walsh said, Boston and the state of Massachusetts, we're not going to get anywhere near that. And that may have been what ultimately tipped the balance in favor of Crystal City and Long Island City.
So what do you think it says about Boston that Boston didn't get this?
Well, I guess the optimist would look and say it shows some measure of restraint, that perhaps, you know, we had enough self-confidence in our status as a tech hub already that we didn't feel the need to throw a giant amount of money just to lure Amazon here. On the flip side of that, and one of the stories I'm working on reporting for tomorrow, Deb, is that it's also another example of Boston missing an opportunity to land a big tech company. I mean, you can go way back to the 60s when the co-founder of Intel went to MIT and then he went to California to start the company. We all know about Mark Zuckerberg founding Facebook in his Harvard dorm room and then going to California. This has been a pattern. So this is another missed chance.
So what about reaction? We heard a little bit from the mayor at the top here saying, Amazon, you're lost. But really, in all seriousness, what sort of reaction have you heard so far from local officials?
You know, it's sort of a mix. I think that folks are disappointed in the status, right? So it would have been a real pad. For example, when I spoke with the Citizens Bank Chief Executive Bruce Van Saun recently, he talked about what a real status achievement it would have been Massachusetts to be the intellectual hub chosen by Amazon. But I think other folks are breathing a sigh of relief. You know, I've also spoken with a venture capitalist, for example, who told me that Amazon coming to Boston would have been a huge problem for startups because they would have sucked up all the talent that those smaller companies need to hire. Hmm.
And do we know anything about, you know, Amazon already has a pretty significant presence here, right? And it's expanded in the Seaport District, so we know that. But what do we know about what Amazon has done here to give us any sort of indication as to whether this is a huge loss or maybe not so big of a loss of not getting HQ2?
Yeah, it certainly wasn't an all-or-nothing proposition for Boston. So there's about 3,500 Amazon employees in Massachusetts already, and it depends how you're counting. I'm not even counting all the Whole Foods employees, right, who are also owned by Amazon. They've also made some high-profile acquisitions. For example, Kiva Robotics in North Reading is a company that is now branded as Amazon Robotics, and they make all those little machines that move Amazon's seemingly endless supply of goods around the warehouses. They've already lined up space in the Seaport District for 2021 with at least 2,000 additional workers, possibly doubling that to 4,000. So there's a whole lot of Amazon in Boston already and more to come.
So do we know what Boston offered in terms of incentives? Because a lot of people compared this to GE, right? And they said, oh, and we offered GE, and there have been some delays in GE's plans to fulfilling its end of the bargain. So people may have been wary. Was that a factor here? Do we know? What do we know about that?
We don't know the exact figures, although that is hopefully a public record that we can get down the line. Mm-hmm. The mayor sort of hinted at that today when he said we wouldn't have come anywhere close to the $2 billion. But I think we can get some sense if you look, for example, and I mentioned the expansion to the Seaport in 2021. So the Boston Development Board did approve some tax breaks for that project earlier this year, and they gave Amazon $5 million in tax incentives if they create 2,000 jobs. So let's do the math. At that rate, if you had 25,000 jobs, well, you're only talking about $62.5 million of incentives. Even if Boston was going to be more generous than that for an HQ2, we're not even in the same ballpark as New York and Crystal City.
Okay. Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers, I want you to stay in the studio with us for a moment. And listeners, we want to remind you that we would like your thoughts on this. Is this Amazon's loss or is this Boston's loss that Amazon has decided not to go with Boston for its second North American headquarters? It is going to split, actually, and have two big headquarter buildings, one in Long Island City, New York, one in Crystal City, Virginia. And you can call us with your thoughts at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We want to get a little more reaction now to today's decision from Amazon. We're going to go to the mayor of Somerville, Joseph Curtatone. Mayor Curtatone, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Deb. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, what's your reaction to this?
I'm not surprised. You know, I said before, and as the as we were the proponent only regional proposal, which was the Amazon on the Orange Line, that, you know, whether Amazon comes or not, it wasn't going to make us, and it's not going to break us. You know, and just in the card of the proposal we announced, we have several million square feet of projects already on the way, or permitted, or about to get on the way. So I think what was most important is that we weren't for Somerville and the rest of the region. And I would wish the conversation, we really talk about the greater Boston region, not just Boston, because that's not what it's about, is the fact that we're in that conversation and we couldn't get there years ago. So, I'm not surprised. It is what it is. I think all the proposals set forth here in the Commonwealth are pretty solid ones.
So, you know, we're hearing about these incentives that Amazon got from New York and Virginia. I think it was $1.5 billion from
New York.
And Callum Borchers is in the studio with me from New York. So did Boston and Somerville offer enough? Should you have offered more? What are your thoughts?
Well, I can only speak to Somerville, and I will tell you, we weren't offering any tax incentives to come. If someone wants to propose that to us, any developer coming in, then the question is, what is the net return back to the community? It's great if we want to create jobs, but who are getting those jobs? We are in an area now where, you know, whether or not, you know, the challenge of offering people an authentic opportunity or a true opportunity to rent or buy a home and stay in the community they love or the neighborhood they love in this region is really not reachable. So are those folks in those underserved neighborhoods getting the opportunity for those jobs? That's the question. So would we entertain that? Yeah, in the right circumstances. But to lead with more than $1 billion of tax incentives, well, I can tell you all that, you know, I can think of a lot of things we need to invest in. You know, the housing emergency we have in this region, the transportation challenges we have, reaching our sustainability goals of workforce and job training. So we were seeking, and I think, you know, one of the things that enticed Amazon to offer was we were seeking with a partner, someone wanted to reinvest in those values and further the region along those values.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that How much in incentives was offered? What were you? Can
no,
you
we,
clarify?
We didn't that? Offer any tax incentives.
Zero.
What we said was, you know, and I'd submit that our general approach is, look, assisting with infrastructure, you know, leveraging infrastructure investment for greater revenue and investment back in the community, that's a smart way to approach things. And we're always, Commonwealth has a good record on that, and many of our communities do. We didn't offer any tax incentives. I really didn't think we needed that to do that. If that sort of comes down to giveaways of that sort, I'm very cautious about that. Now, that's not said we wouldn't entertain that. But that's where we led. We did not lead from a position of, I talked about Somerville's proposal, giveaways. I mean, we already had what was attractive, again, about the Orange Line, Amazon along the Orange Line. What is the Orange Line? Is the only line that connects to every major line in the metro region. Mm-hmm. It connects to some of the most underserved neighborhoods, but that has some of the most diversified and skilled workforce and knowledge-based workforce, which is Amazon was looking for. It's some of the most walkable urban districts, neighborhoods in the region, which is what they were looking for. To parcels from North Station through Cambridge Crossing and Sullivan Square and Assembly, which already had parcels permitted and entitled and ready to go. So, I think we had everything to offer in terms of that proposal. And again, we were excited if they wanted to think about us. I did have some concerns about them. You alluded to them. If they came in with 5 million square feet right off the bat, it poses some challenges. But at the end of the day, we achieved a lot by being part of that dialogue. And we have development occurring, and people are already coming into those areas that we talked about, you know, from Phillips to development continuing at Assembly Row, to what's happened in North Station. So whether it's Amazon or not the question is really what is the approach to when we think about developing and unlocking investment in our communities and our region.
So tell me what lesson you take from this then when you try to balance mm-hmm. that and you say, look, we've got big housing issues, we've got big transportation issues, you know, so I'm a little wary about this monster proposal that might come from Amazon. What do you do going forward, Mayor, when you consider other development proposals?
Well, I think we need to think... We need to think globally and we need to continue to, and it's a struggle still to break out of parochial and provincial mold in this region. And for the longest time, as history tells us, we've always thought about if it doesn't come in my city or town, I don't benefit. What we need the Commonwealth to lead on is a true region. What I mean, the region. The region doesn't stop at North Station or at the gas tank or the Southeast Expressway. I'm talking the metro region extends more than 3 million people, about 120 cities and towns or more, give or take. And you know what? This region is talented. It's diverse. But the challenges are real. We need 430,000 units of housing by 2040. We need a transportation system that unlocks the promise of a 21st century global economy. We need a workforce development plan that makes sure that people have a true opportunity to participate in that economy. And we need to meet our climate challenge head on and be bold. So we never had and still don't have an integrated plan along those fronts. And this is important in this context. 54% of the world's population lives in metro regions like the Greater Boston metro region. And by 2050, 3/4 of the population of the world will live in those regions. The regions that take those head on and plan for the future will succeed. The ones that don't, well, we're going to struggle. So it's not a question whether, you know, Amazon, we're going to be made we're going to make it or break it based on Amazon. That's not the point. But in the future, as we're seeing the struggles now, as we continue to grow as a region, and we're going to continue to grow in terms of demographics and population. You know, what are the economic opportunities? Who gets to participate in that? And how do we deal with these issues that are going to really unlock the promise of the Commonwealth?
All right, Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
We want to get some callers in on this subject right now. Morgan is calling from Malden. Morgan, you're on the air.
Hi. So I guess my opinion on the whole thing is I'm very glad that they did not choose to come to Boston. As someone who's living outside of Boston and works in the city, it's already a struggle just to get within the city or anywhere close to it. Not to mention the mess the transit system is in and the fact that it's impossible for anyone in the middle class to buy a home. The housing crisis itself, I don't think that we would have been able to make it through with that many new people. And I know that they were offering job opportunities to people already within the city, but the way I just don't think it would have helped in the long run, and it would have pushed us further into the crisis we're already in.
All right, Morgan, thanks so much for your call. Victor is calling from Roxbury. Victor, you're on the air.
Hi, hello. I actually agree with Morgan on this one, but for a little bit different reason. I do agree gentrification has taken its toll on our communities, especially in Roxbury. I mean, in Dorchester, it's it's wreaking havoc on a whole new level here. But I've been an educator for about 4 years in Boston, and we're, the city's been talking about closing several schools. So I'd really be disheartened, and I don't think anyone's losing in this situation, but I think I would have been very disheartened if I would have heard that Amazon was coming here and we're offering all these things when we can't even offer anything to our actual residents of Boston, especially not the kids, when we're talking about closing several schools. So I think one's losing here.
Well, I think Victor,
put ourselves in a better position.
Yeah, well, the argument, of course, is if you invest in these incentives, it brings more to the economy and makes the whole economy stronger because you have a lot of people here who are working for good wages in a big business. You don't buy it?
I don't buy it. I mean, it's like the mayor of Somerville was saying, like, who's actually getting these jobs? And at the same time, let's talk about the housing development. We're talking about condos and all these new developments, but who's actually living in these condos and these beautiful, lavish new developments? It's not the people of Boston. My aunt had to move out to Randolph because she couldn't afford to live here. So I don't think that's true.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your call. I also want to just reach out to someone who's on the line right now for another perspective on this Amazon decision today and how it might affect the business community here. This is Chris Anderson. He's president of the Massachusetts High Technology Council. Chris, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thanks.
So what would you say is the reaction that you're hearing most from the business community to Amazon's announcement today that Boston's out?
Well, I think, you know, we've got a recognition that we have a really strong, powerful private economy that is heavily invested in technology that's benefiting a lot of this regional development that you heard the mayor, both mayors, reference, and quite rightly so. These infrastructure investments that have been made in Massachusetts for over a decade now have resulted in Somerville, the Seaport District, Cambridge, and other places becoming totally transformed. And it's exactly the kind of expectation that Crystal City and Long Island City hope to see as a result of pursuing and winning a split decision, getting a piece of Amazon. I think for Massachusetts, it's irrelevant whether Amazon came or not. This region, and it's not just Massachusetts, I'll expand on the mayor's regionalization by saying New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Rhode Island play just as much a part of our success story here as we do in Massachusetts. But, you know, we have all the benefits that these other locations continue to strive for. Virginia's more like Massachusetts because we have both have highly educated workforces. We have a high degree of our workforce working in technology, and we have a fairly high quality of life. We also, with New York and Virginia, suffer from challenges on the cost of doing business side. And I think that's some of what Jeff Bezos and some of the team at Amazon may have considered. But at the end of the day, access to talent trumps a decision like this. And by filling in the Northeast Corridor with a Virginia presence and an expanded presence in New York, supplementing their growing presence in the greater Boston area, really fills in a large chunk of the most densely populated East Coast area that I think Amazon will ultimately benefit from.
But, I mean, isn't this a loss, though, you know, in some ways to this area? Not completely irrelevant. I mean, the city's economic development chief, John Barrows for Boston, he said that the city would have been forced to fix some of the problems that it has right now if it had won Amazon. And it could have been a gain. And that was certainly what folks were touting when it was first learned that this area was in the running for Amazon's second headquarters. So isn't there a little bit of feeling like Boston may have missed out here, Chris?
Well, I'll tell you, if it takes winning a competition for a company like Amazon to do what we ought to be doing anyway to fix infrastructure, education, and healthcare problems, then we have a bigger problem than just pursuing Amazon. We have a strong private sector economy, but we actually do have a fairly fragile public finance economy. And we're not that far from becoming like Connecticut, New Jersey, and Illinois, that have found themselves now mired in state budgets that require either dramatic cuts or new spending. We should be focused on those problems now while we have the benefit of a strong private sector economy and avoid doing the things that would weaken the conditions for investment and job growth. So I don't think it's a loss. I think we have a and have benefited from a tremendous diverse range of Massachusetts-headquartered companies that continue to grow or add jobs and contribute to our economy and our success.
You don't think that other businesses will look at this decision by Amazon and feel that somehow that's a black mark on this area as a place to do business?
Not really. I mean, I still see more companies that aren't based in Massachusetts coming to Massachusetts. I see our strong tech-driven economy pretty much the envy of the United States and a big chunk of the world. So I don't have any qualms about how we're viewed and what we're doing now to garner the success that we deserve. So I think the orientation ought to be on what are we doing for the people who live and work in Massachusetts today, the companies that are here who would otherwise rather continue to expand here rather than look for low-cost or less congested places. And I think that's really the secret for our long-term success over the next 4 to 10 years, is how can we take these challenges now that we have a really, really strong private sector economy generating revenue and make the changes on the public investment side that will secure this kind of positive ride for, you know, a generation.
Okay. Chris Anderson, president of the Massachusetts High Technology Council, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks. Have a great afternoon.
You too. I want to take another caller in here. Neil is calling from Arlington. Neil, you're on the air. Good or bad that Amazon is not coming to the Boston area?
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my call. My personal opinion that it's okay that we didn't win it because otherwise Amazon's new motto in the Boston area would have been, we get there when we get there. We don't really have the infrastructure. I'm a business owner and commercial banker by trade. We have a lot of talent. I've benefited, Babson, Harvard. So, we have tremendously educated workforce, but they can't get from point A to point B. And, to be honest, at times it feels like the city planners, and I have a lot of respect for them, but we're doing things backwards. First we build seaport, and then we try to think, how do we bring the grocery store there or affordable parking, especially for those moderate income housing, the 10-15% that we allocate. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not a bad thing. We really need to think about our infrastructure because our roads, there's so much you can squeeze into them. And there is, there are problems beyond the roads.
Mm-hmm. But certainly, some say this may have helped. The money from Amazon may have helped deal with some of the infrastructure issues. And there are infrastructure issues in some of the other areas of the country as well. But they're betting on the economic growth that will help deal with some of those things. And of course, now we're talking about 25,000 employees instead of 50,000, which was the original proposal.
Perhaps you're right, but I think, we have a lot of people who want to be here, as some of your speakers noted. So I think we need to focus more on the infrastructure, on the housing and other things. And I think due to the talent, due to all the benefits we have, other companies will come. Amazon is not the end of the world that we lost it. They'll be back.
All right. Neil, thanks so much. I want to bring one more voice into this conversation quickly. Tom O'Brien, who's a founding partner and managing director of HYM Investments, and that's the company that owns the Suffolk Downs property in Boston and Revere that was part of the bid for Amazon. Tom, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello, Deborah. Thank you very much.
So what's your reaction to the news from Amazon today?
Well, in the real estate business, we're always competing for tenants like this. And so when something like this happens, you kind of pick yourself up and you go after the next tenant. It's sort of typical. You compete hard and do the best you can, but it's really impossible to fully understand exactly what the tenant wants. Only the tenant truly knows exactly what they want. And, obviously in this case, they wanted a set of factors that maybe better matched these other two sites. And so, as I say, we just have to pick ourselves up and go back after the next tenant, which we will do.
But Amazon is like a big, big tenant, right, Tom? I mean, we're talking a major tenant here. This has got to have an impact on the site or on the future, doesn't it?
Well, we already have, as a region, there's already a very significant Amazon presence in the region, remember? I mean, there's the robotics effort that Amazon takes on happens here in Massachusetts. They're about to bring another couple thousand jobs into the seaport. So Amazon already has a pretty significant presence here in Boston and Cambridge. And, you know, as I think one of your previous callers said, there's a very robust environment here for technology companies generally and for life science companies, you know, an economy that I think is the envy of the world in many respects. We do always have to guard against being complacent. You do have to compete. You do have to go hard after these tenants. I totally agree with some of the sentiments that were expressed just previously about a need to invest in infrastructure and things like that. I totally agree with all that. But at the same time, you know, we got in, we competed, and there'll be another Amazon-like company that we'll find, you know, both for our site and generally for the region.
So is that the plan going forward now that Amazon isn't part of the picture? You're hoping to find another Amazon-like company to do something similar?
Well, for us at Suffolk Downs, we bought Suffolk Downs long before this whole Amazon process started. So, you know, we bought Suffolk Downs with a plan in mind, you know, with or without Amazon, and that's really what we'll do now. The Suffolk Downs site, if I can, just this gives me a chance to kind of talk about it, if that's okay, Deborah. The site itself is 161 acres, so it's a huge site, and it's connected to the MBTA system directly with two Blue Line stations right on the site. So when we bought it, we saw it as a perfect site to build what we call a mixed-use campus, and that essentially means we're building a community where thousands of people will live. There'll be 500,000 square feet of restaurants and retail. There'll be 5.5 million square feet of office space. So
we've got about a minute,
Tom.
It's
a very significant community when all is said and done. It's the largest opportunity to build housing within the metropolitan region, you know, inside of Route 128. Mm-hmm. So there'll be 10,000 units of housing there, which is a significant opportunity. So we bought it before there was Amazon, and we'll implement the plan that we originally had purchased the site for.
Okay. Tom O'Brien, founding partner, managing director of HYM Investments, which owns Suffolk Downs. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay. Last minute goes to Callum Borchers, our Bostonomics reporter here. So it seems like, you know, our officials are saying, well, it's not so bad. Most of the residents who weighed in was unanimous. We're all glad they're not coming here. We didn't want to deal with that many people. So what is this, an overall gain or a negative? What would be your analysis, Callum?
Well, but what else would the losing city say? Right?
Exactly.
So there's a little bit of that to it, too. But yes, they all make valid points. There are plenty of things going for Boston as it is. And the reality is that we still have that large Amazon presence regardless. I think the missing piece is what you highlighted earlier from John Barros, the economic development chief in Boston. The hope here was that even though we're not ready in the current state of infrastructure, that this would have been the nudge that we just need to get things right on the right track.
So hopefully there will still be a nudge somewhere.
Yeah. It wasn't the Olympics. It's not Amazon. Maybe something else.
All right. WBUR Bostonomics reporter Callum Borchers, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.